Right, Surah Al-Asr. In Surah Al-Asr, I think there's a lot of people from Pakistan here, right? My wife is Pakistani. We had the opportunity to visit Pakistan. And we went to Multan. We went to different places from Multan. Okay, we went to Multan and I noticed I became very, very sick in Multan. And the reason for the sickness, and I determined I'm like studying the culture and so on, the reason for my sickness was because of their ice. Right, have you ever seen their where they get their ice from? It comes from the dirtiest truck you could ever see, where the guy just smashes the you know, with an ice pick. It falls off the truck. He picks it up and he gives it to people. And then they take it home and they give you lemonade. Right? They keep sticking. They put like a few drops. You go, and then, you know, they give you another sip of lemonade. But you don't realize that this water is melting in your cup. Right? It's poisonous water. It melts in your cup, and if you ever drink it, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from drinking that kind of water. So I became very sick, and they thought, oh, it's the mangoes that are messing you up, and I said, no, it was that ice. Anyhow, the ice seller. And you'll see in the books of tafsir, like I said, they'll mention stories like this because this was their culture. In our society, we don't have people out in the street selling ice. You know, you go to 7-Eleven, you pick up as much ice as you want, you don't even think twice about it. But these people, they sell it out with no refrigerators. And so someone was contemplating what? Al-Asr, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying by the time. By the token of time, or by the time. And he saw, as he was thinking about this, he was sitting in the marketplace beside a guy who was selling ice. And he was watching him. And he noticed that by the end of the day, like he would sell the ice, but by the end of the day, whatever he didn't sell was destroyed. The ice had melted and it was perished and he could only take what he had sold. So he had to work very hard during the day in selling. Otherwise, by the end of the day, his commodity would be finished. And when the end of the day came and the rest of the ice had melted away and the person walked away with what he had, he realized the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifying by the time that man is surely at a loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is explaining the way that a person will either be successful or will be a loser. And the default, and the reason it says default there, is the default is that human beings are losers. They are losers. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That they're in loss. And they will be losers if they just allow the river of life to pass them by. They will be losers. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies by the time, that raises the status of time. You know when Muslims, they don't come on time for their lectures and stuff like that. Tell them that the time is mu'azzam shara'an. The time is has lofty and noble status to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He testifies by it. Wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies by something, this is an exam question so you can like pay attention a little bit here. It shows that number one, that there are many blessings that can come from that thing. Many benefits. So number one, benefits that come from that. Number two, that it reminds people of the precision of that creation. It reminds people of the precision of that creation, or for short, precision of creation. And number three, it reminds them of the enormity of that creation. The enormity of how big and how detailed this creation is, but people haven't paid attention to it. So the benefits, the precision and the enormity. There was once, when I went to Amman, I told you these, when I went to Petra and so on, there was a Canadian peacekeeping officer that was in the hotel with us in Abdali, which is in Amman. And the brother that was with me, it was his first chance giving dawah, so he's telling him about the story of Adam and Iblis and how. So he's going on with the story and the guy's like, you know, he doesn't want to listen to it. So I basically said to him, I said, what do you worship? And he said, I don't worship anything. And I don't worship any religion, he said, because I can't leave aside my zina. He said, I can't leave aside my alcohol. I can't leave aside, you know, all these worldly desires. And then I said to him in reply, I said that as Muslims we believe that everybody worships something. I said, even the words that you used were words of ubudiyya, were words of enslavement. He said, I cannot leave them. I'm enslaved to these things. But as a Muslim, we believe that our master is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we submit to Him. And that's why a Muslim takes pride in calling himself Abdullah, and calling himself the slave of Allah. Even though people may translate it as the servant of Allah because it doesn't sound good in English, the word in Arabic is slave, Abd. If you said to someone, oh Abd, come here, it would be very derogatory. But when it's attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the greatest nobility that someone is Abdullah, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why they became losers. Because the default is, they've chosen to worship themselves, and to worship their desires, and travel along the path of life in this obedience to their desires. The istithna, and we mentioned it a little few moments before, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that all humans are losers. And I think on one of the poster boards someone had said, I learned today that all humans are losers. That we're all losers, Brother Muhammad said. That's incorrect. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying not all humans are losers. That they are in loss, except it's not everybody that's going to be a loser. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the exception. So what I mentioned earlier, when I said if there was a boy named Hamza, and he was in, you know, third grade boys, and we said the third grade boys went out for recess except Hamza, that's called istithna in Arabic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that all these people are in loss except, and these people are not included. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the recipe for success. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So there are four things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. What, and these are the characteristics why they're not losers in the end. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who had iman, وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they did the good deeds and the righteous actions, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they encouraged each other in the truth, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they encouraged people in patience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about this default of people in loss, and the believer and how that they don't want to be a loser. Nobody wants to be a loser. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 196, لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't be deluded with these kuffar, and as they pass in the land, مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ, that they only have a small commodity. ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ, and then their home and the place where they'll be going back to is hellfire. وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ, what an evil, wretched place it is as an abode, hellfire is. And so a Muslim doesn't look at all these people, and like they say, the road less traveled. This is the road that all these people are taking. A person should never think or feel safe and see the mirage of people that are following the misguidance. But they should turn to what will give them the success. The iman, the amal salih, the encouraging of haq, and the encouraging of sabr. Speaking about iman, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, a famous definition of iman that many people have quoted. He said, Al-imanu ma waqara fil qalbi wa saddaqahu al-amal. He said that iman is something that lodges in the heart, and it's proven by actions. It's proven by action. In that point, because sometimes you see, this is like a little joke, and this happened overseas. One brother was giving a lecture, and someone, I guess, really rough caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had said to him, brother, where's your beard? You know, why don't you have a beard? And so the speaker said that, look, I believe that the beard comes from the heart. And then the person that replied, you know, he has his chance, right? He said, then you must have a pretty hairy chest. Right, and in that statement, because a lot of believers, they think that the iman, like you tell someone do this, they say, brother, it's all about intentions. But let them say the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ, the actions will be judged by intentions. This person is doing nothing and saying that they have a proper intention. An intention for what? When they do something, then they will be judged by their intention. They give $5,000 sadaqah, then they will be judged by their intention. If they don't give, what intention is there? They haven't done anything to have an intention attached to that. And so it's إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَةِ, that the actions will be judged by intentions. And so it has to be iman and to be proven with amal. To be proven with amal. Because when someone doesn't work, whether they say it's, oh, my intention is this and that, their actions are a reflection of what's in their heart. And it's reflecting and radiating from their heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the hearts. We can only comment on what we see on the outside. And of course, Jannah is not in compensation for a person's action. So it's not that you pull out, or a binder for example, could be worth $15. So someone pulls out $15, the $15 is worth the binder. Jannah is not the compensation for someone's deeds. So they said, I've been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 years of my life. Here's the compensation, here's Jannah. Jannah is not the equivalent of our deeds. But it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the person's embrace that they get elevated into paradise with the little work that they did in this dunya. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you will enter Jannah with your actions. And they said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. And he said, not even me, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would embrace me with His mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that actually teaches us not to be arrogant with our actions. But we do our actions in the hope that we could win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we would be accepted by Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the ulama said, they said that a'mal as-salihah, the good actions, it's in benefit to the person who does it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our actions. When someone slaughters on Eid, for example, on Eid prayer, they slaughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the blood and the meat do not reach Allah azza wa jalla. Allah doesn't need that food, doesn't need to eat it. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. But the taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what reaches Allah azza wa jalla. And so those actions are for our own benefit. And when someone does an evil action, they're not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not being harmed, but they're actually harming their own body. Because it's their body that's going to be punished for that action. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Those who did dhulm to themselves. They're tyrants against their own limbs. Because their evil actions will harm themselves. And it will come back on them, good or bad. As the hadith Qudsi says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. That it's nothing in your actions which I count for you and gather for you. ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّا. And then I pay you back for those actions. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا. So whoever finds good, فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Let them thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكُ. Whoever finds something else, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. That he shouldn't complain about anyone except himself. We also see in this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They believed and they did the good actions. وَتَوَاصَوْا. And they encouraged the haqq. Of course they accepted the haqq themselves, but that wasn't good enough. They had to encourage it. And it's a social religion. About carpooling and going to the masjid with your friends and being brothers and sisters and so on. This is what the religion is about. And it's actually a mistake when someone, you'll see in some Muslim countries for example, when you go to the masajid, you'll see all the senior men in the masjid. Where are their wives? Where are their children? It's almost as if they're only concerned with themselves. And this is incorrect. The person has to encourage the haqq. And they have to encourage patience. And it's not enough that they say that I'm doing it myself and I'm already absolved of any sin. No, they're responsible for the people around them. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And in fact, when a person tries doing it on their own, they're away from everyone, you will see that when they distance themselves from the vibes of Iman, right? When they distance themselves from the recitation of Qur'an, from the good brothers, then the heart becomes rusted. It rusts away when they're not remembered, reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the jama'ah so much, because in that jama'ah, the weak will be strengthened. The weak will be strengthened in that. And that's what a Muslim has to do, encouraging the truth and encouraging patience. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see from the Sunnah that he encouraged people to not travel alone. To not travel alone and not sleep alone. And some people may be interested about that because they may have an apartment by themselves. And this is actually something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we shouldn't do. He said, concerning about traveling, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-raqibu shaytan," that one a person traveling by themselves is a shaytan, is a devil. وَالرَّاكِبَانْ شَيْطَانَانْ, and two people traveling are two devils. وَالثَّلَاثَةُ رَكْ, and three of them are is like a group of people traveling. But before that, one and two are shaytan. And actually, I remember a brother, he would travel by bus across the U.S. And he was telling us, we were little kids, they weren't shy to tell us. He would say that when he was out on the bus, that he would get the chance to smoke. You know, that exciting thing to do. He would go out from the bus and they'd be in the middle of the desert of America somewhere, and then no one would see him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he'd pull out a cigarette and he would smoke. And he couldn't do this with his family, and he couldn't do this in any Islamic school or so on. But because he was traveling alone, he could get away with it. And this is what happens when someone travels alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that a person shouldn't sleep alone. They shouldn't like just be by themselves and sleeping, because when they get that chance, you know, you know how it is when a person's alone. That's when, you know, the shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dwindles, and then the person has, you know, the like they say, the guts or the courage to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where the shaitan really takes control of a person. Sabr, there's three types of sabr: wa tawassul bil haqq, wa tawassul bis sabr. Because a lot of people, when they think patience, they think that, oh, we should have patience when calamities befall us. There's three types. They say the first type of sabr, sabru fi ta'atillah, to be patient in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be patient in obedience to Allah azza wa jalla. So if Allah azza wa jalla tells us to pray on time, we should have patience and make sure that we pray our prayers on time. The second one is sabru an ma'asiyatillah, sabru in not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah azza wa jalla says, do not eat pork, and then someone at the school is offering a ham sandwich to you, you have to be patient and not accept that mayonnaise infested ham sandwich. The third type is as-sabru fi qada'illahi wa qadari, which is the patience in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the things that happened to us, things that we had no control over. And those are the things like the deaths and our sandals being torn or our sandals getting stolen from the masjid or something like that, that you have no control over. That as soon as you see that, don't let the chance pass you by. Say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, immediately, so that you can reap the full reward. Because a lot of people, they, you know, later on say it. You know, after they've calmed down and they let off all their anger, and then it's inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un after that. Right? It comes after, but it shouldn't. You should say, oh, I got the chance to get major blessings here. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right? And I say this, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually I said this in College Park, I think this day on Saturday, and a brother double parked me right after the speech. And I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me. And I said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I kept saying it again and again. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that if there was no surah revealed of the Qur'an except this surah, it would be enough for the believers to contemplate over and to carry them through their lives. And that just shows you these small surahs, they are small, but at the same time, they are enormous in their meanings and in their messages of lives. And this is just, we've just spent maybe half an hour on Surah Al-Asr, but you can write volumes and volumes about the truth, about patience, about Iman, about Amal al-Salih, all of that. But this is the message of our lives that we're taking in these surahs, so that every time we recite it in salah, that we keep reminding of what is our path of success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines for us. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ The haqq is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah azza wa jalla. You always see people talking about human rights, human rights, human rights, and they're always talking about it. And you don't see any United Nations standing up for the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct? You don't see that. And inshallah we'd like to see it, right? They would call it a mutawwa factory or something like that, right? But people standing up for the haqq Allah, the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the haqq of the people, and the animals and the trees and all that, it's all there, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to give every owner of haqq, every owner of a right, its right. And that's the justice that a Muslim must have. And so it's, if a Muslim sees a cat, for example, they're merciful to the cat, because that's the haqq. I remember one of the shaykh in Medina, he gave maybe a 2-hour lecture about the rights of animals in Islam. And you would be shocked when you go in detail of the rights of trees, the rights of plants, the rights of animals. It's ingrained in our deen. And it's all there, we just don't see it. And we haven't contemplated on this. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ I'm going to mention a story to you, inshaAllah. This is concerning Surat Al-Asr. And it's mentioned that Amr ibn al-As, who became Muslim later, but he was one of the toughest enemies against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he later on became Muslim. He went to Musaylim al-Kadhab in a delegation. And this was after the Prophet ﷺ had received revelation and before Amr had become Muslim. So فَقَالَ لَهُ مُسَيْلِمًا Musaylimah said to them, مَاذَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى صَاحِبُكُمْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ He said, what has been revealed to your companion in this time? فَقَالَ لَقَدْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ سُورَةً وَجِيزَةً بَلِيغَةً He said that a small surah, which is short but it's very profound, has been revealed. And then he said, وَمَا هِيَ فَقَالَ And he replied, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ So Musaylimah, it says, فَفَكَّرَ مُسَيْلِمَةً هُنَيْهَا He sat quietly for a moment, and then he said, وَقَدْ أُنزِلَ عَلَيَّ مِثْلُهَا He said, and upon me, a similar revelation has come down. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَمْرُ وَمَا هُوَ And what is that revelation? So he said, يَا وَبَرْ يَا وَبَرْ وَإِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَذْنَانٌ وَصَدَرْ وَسَائِرُكَ حَفْرٌ نَقَرٌ Which is basically talking about, I think you say in English, a gnat, G-N-A-T, is that how you pronounce it? It's about a bug. And he's saying that you're basically ears and a chest. And the rest of you is hafa. And so Amr looked at him, and then he said, "Thumma qala lahu kayfa tara ya Amr?" He said, "What is your opinion, O Amr?" فَقَالَ لَهُ عَمْرُ He said, "Wallahi." He said, "Wallahi, innaka la ta'lamu anni a'lamu annaka kadhdhab." He said, "I swear by Allah that you know that I know that you're a liar." Not that I swear by Allah that you're a liar. He said, I swear that you know that I know that you're a liar. أَنَّكَ كَذَّبٌ And they mentioned this concerning Surah Al-Asr.